the rest of the story. What you're about to hear is a most charming description of President-elect Abraham Lincoln about to give his first inaugural address, and it's an excerpt I'm reading from Herndon's Life of Lincoln. It's a first-hand account. Quote, reaching the platform, his discomfort was visibly increased by not knowing what to do with his hat and cane. And so he stood there, the target of 10,000 eyes, holding cane in one hand and hat in the other. The very picture of helpless embarrassment. After some hesitation, he pushed the cane into a corner of the railing, but he could not find a place for the hat except on the floor, where I could see he did not like to risk it, end quote. Then somebody came to the rescue, and I'm emphasizing this fellow's presence at the 1861 inauguration, as well as his eagerness to aid the president-elect in an awkward situation, because indeed, he was among Lincoln's strongest political supporters. In Lincoln's own words, he and I are about the best friends in the world, end quote. The recipient of that considerable tribute, well, that's the rest of the story. Abraham Lincoln had one very special friend, one of his strongest supporters in the early stages of his presidency. It was observed that he was the most attentive listener at Lincoln's 1861 inaugural address. It was he who was designated to escort Mrs. Lincoln in the grand march at the inaugural ball. After all, as Lincoln himself said, he and I are about the best friends in the world. Throughout this extremely critical pre-Civil War period, when so many of Lincoln's erstwhile friends were deserting him, this one friend hastened to Lincoln's defense. In fact, he toured the South begging Southerners not to secede. Even as his words were severely criticized in one forum, he was off to the next, desperately seeking acceptance for the Lincoln cause. On extended speaking trips throughout the North, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, he sought to unite Democrats and Republicans behind Lincoln. And in this, he was largely successful. He even won the support of such vehement Southern sympathizers as John A. Logan and John A. McClernand, both of whom eventually became Union generals. Only 3 months after Lincoln's inauguration, exhausted and debilitated by his valiant efforts, this very special friend, the president's best man, succumbed to a fever and died. On hearing the news, President Lincoln wept openly, ordered the White House flag to be flown at half-staff. Civil War scholar Gerald M. Capers believes Lincoln's friend, had he lived, would probably have been chosen Lincoln's running mate in 1864 and would thus have become President of the United States himself upon the assassination. That, of course, nobody can know for sure. This we know for sure. For one brief shining moment, in the midst of uncertainty, fledgling President Abraham Lincoln had a friend, a man who supported him, defended him literally to the death. How poignant the superficiality of junior high history, which recalls these two, Lincoln and his friend, only as vitriolic verbal antagonists. For you see, the man who died trying to promote Lincoln was Stephen A. Douglas. Sure, you've heard about the Lincoln-Douglas debates, but I wanted you to know the rest of the story.